The time has come, my dear children, for our carnival, our Mardi Gras. Lent is coming, and I know how seriously you all take it. Indeed, I know how much you all look forward to it. We all need it, and so it is, in fact, with joy that we enter in to this holy season of sanctification before the feast of our Lord's resurrection. The devotion of the 40 hours was instituted for several purposes in the 16th century. Indeed, it only grew out of a practice that had already been spreading throughout Christendom ever since the Feast of Corpus Christi, the practice of adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. The 40 hours was instituted in Milan, especially to pray for deliverance from the menace of the Mohammedan Turks, who were threatening all of Christendom during that century. To this was added the prayer of reparation for the scandalous sins committed by Christians. And afterwards, adding to this intention, the fact that the scandalous sins of Catholics were driving people out of the church, and that part of the work of bringing the Protestant rebels back to the fold was for Catholics to do penance for their own sins. In particular, what was highlighted by many of the saints was the importance of doing penance on these days leading up to Ash Wednesday. For Christians would engage in riotous celebrations because they knew that there was a universal law to which they had to adhere, universal law of fasting and abstinence throughout the 40 days of Lent. The rules of Lent were relaxed over time, and in society at large today, although we cannot doubt that there are celebrations going on, these celebrations certainly will not end with Ash Wednesday. If we keep this intention today, it is not just in reparation for sins committed during these 40 hours, but by the total forgetfulness of the 40 days that follow. As we prepare, though, to take up the arms of Christian warfare during the holy season of Lent, the Apostle reminds us in the Mass of the Time today, which is Quinquagesima Sunday, that without charity, all of this will profit us nothing. We know this beautiful chapter of his epistle well enough, but we find, in fact, that it resumes the thoughts of St. Paul that we have heard the last two Sundays as well. Indeed, he seems to say to us today, if I chastise my body and bring it into subjection and have not charity, I am nothing. If I have visions and float into the third heaven and have not charity, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to the poor and dedicate my life to healing the sick and have not charity, I am nothing. Even helping the poor, the one thing that all people, pagan, Christian, or Jew, all agree is quite nice. That is all that charity means in contemporary English. Philanthropy. Charity means something far greater in the language of the New Testament. Without it, you can do all the above things in one way or another. Help others and always be kind to them. Stay in shape and watch what you eat, not only for your own sake, but for the sake of those who depend on you. Find ways to relax your mind by listening to music, reading literature, taking walks in the woods. All these things are good on the natural level. Do them, and you will be a good man of the world. They will never make you a Christian. What about, then, doing these things in a Christian way? What about prayer fasting, almsgiving. Surely the three great arms of Lenten warfare will make us perfect disciples of Christ. They will, provided you never view them as an end, but only as a means. When these things are an end, they serve only to gratify our self-love. The true end, the only end we should ever consider, is the perfect love of God. This is the love without which all our good works are nothing. And what is the measure of this love that stands before us all at this moment, softly inviting? Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most blessed sacrament. Our sweet Savior, not yet our judge, not yet on the throne of judgment, but in the garden of love, gazing at us through the lattice. There is no more sovereign means to bring us to the one thing that makes us perfect, the holy love of God, than devotion to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It is from this sacrament that we draw not only sanctifying grace when we receive it worthily, but also the greater part of all the actual graces that we need to perform any truly pleasing acts throughout our entire day. That is why it is so important again and again to visit our Lord and beg the graces we need in order to progress in the Christian life. This is the way that God has chosen for our salvation. It began at Christmas, when he came to us as a little babe. And now, before we enter into the season of Lent, he comes to us again, softly inviting us, compelling us with sweet eyes and words of love, already asking us, very gently, that same question he will put to his three chosen disciples in the garden during Holy Week. Could you not watch 1 hour with me? This is the Savior who has come to us, who will accompany us with his preaching throughout these 40 days of Lent until he declares at the close of these 40 days that he will go to be crucified. When he tells us, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all things to myself." Yes, our Savior draws us, never forces, only invites. For this is the time of mercy, and not yet the time of judgment. This is the purpose of the 40 hours, and why we preach during it, to remind you of all the benefits that God has given us through this most august sacrament, and why it is the most powerful motive of love which we have here on earth. If we are moved to love our Lord in the most blessed sacrament, then we will practice prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in a way that is truly pleasing to God. Inflamed with charity, we will be truly generous to all men, the poor in worldly goods and the poor in spirit, because we see in every one of our fellow men a soul created by God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. We desire heaven for that soul, for its own eternal bliss, and for God's greater glory. If we love our Lord in this sacrament, then we will chastise our body and bring it into subjection, not to have a pleasing figure or enjoy good health in this passing life, but so that our eyes may be mortified from curiosity, our will from malice, our passions from all earthly desires, so that we may love God alone and others for his sake, not ours. Yes, we eat for pleasure, at times of feasting, to bring joy to ourselves and to others, to honor the hardworking cook. Otherwise, we eat for health and maintain our fixed days of fasting and abstinence in a spirit of poverty and simplicity. We always maintain good posture and keep our body in good shape so that we may be zealous servants and faithful stewards of the goods that God has given us. If you love our Lord Jesus Christ in this sacrament, then you will pray, not as the hypocrites who honor God only with their lips, but as a soul who longs at every moment to be in the presence of him who loves her. Then will your soul cry out, "O my Jesus, I have sought you sorrowing, but now I have found you, about your Father's business, about the work of my redemption. And what, O my Jesus, do you announce to my soul today? Ecce ascendimus Jerusalemam. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. You go again, yes. Before you went to teach in the temple, but now in the end, you will teach only from the school of the cross. During these 40 hours, I can put to you the question that we are all asked on Holy Thursday, where the ceremony is so similar to what we observe today. When we consider the figure of Peter presented to us in St. John's Gospel, Petrus sequebatur a longe. Peter followed from afar. How will you keep this Lent? This devotion of the 40 hours is the measure. The greater distance we keep between ourselves and our Lord in this sacrament, the more we warm ourselves with the fires of the world. Our malice and our base desires are kindled, and charity grows cold. Let us pray to Our Lady of Sorrows and Calvary that throughout these 40 hours and this holy season of Lent, we may never depart from that holy mountain of love. O my Jesus, may my sinful soul too be pierced. May the living water of tears pour forth at long last from this rock, and may it cry out forevermore, "No more sin, no more world, only my Jesus, my love, my all." Amen.